You're listening to a Rhythms podcast from Bluesfest 2012, produced by the media students of Southern Cross University.
So it seems we have an extra guest with us today.
Yeah. This is Jade Rack.
Fantastic. So thanks for joining us on the couch this afternoon.
Thank you.
I was going to say, as Verity was saying at the back, we live over in Brunswick Heads, just up the road, and where Rhythms Magazine's based, and it's been many a Sunday afternoon where we sat in the beer garden at the pub drinking a few beers, listening to you guys tear the place apart.
Thank you.
It's a fairly regular gig for you guys.
Yeah, we like going there. It's an awesome, awesome venue.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? Good view of the river and all that sort of business. Yeah. Cool. So you played your first set here yesterday, is that right?
Yeah.
How'd that go down?
It was awesome. We opened the Jambalaya stage.
Yep.
It was cool.
Yeah, it's a good spot down there, isn't it?
It was lovely.
Yeah, cool. And then you're playing again this afternoon at 4:30 just next door.
In the APRA stage, yep.
Yeah. As Rabbit said from the Ram Mountain Girls just before, he's pretty happy that you guys are opening up for them. They're playing just after you.
Yeah, well, the only disappointing thing for them is we've got a show they won't be able to follow. I mean, that's the only thing. You
know. They'll have to step it up.
Yeah.
It's like the APRA stage would be the place to be this afternoon.
Yeah.
So you're somewhat of a regular at Bluesfest these days. I mean, you're certainly no stranger to this festival, are you?
Yeah, this is festival number 4 for us, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Four or five, yeah.
That's good. Excellent. So somewhere else where you're certainly a regular is up and down the northeast coast of Australia. I mean, it's pretty rare not to see you gigging around this part of the world on a weekend. I was looking at your tour schedule before, and it's as full as always. What's the appeal to you of this, like, constant touring, always out there? So you obviously got quite a...
Why do we do that?
Yeah, like, what's the appeal to you of gigging so heavily?
We've got to pay the rent.
Yeah, fair call.
We've got to pay bills. We don't have day jobs. We don't want them either. I used to be a bricklayer.
Yeah.
So I don't have to do that now.
That's what Ray Beadle said last night. What keeps him going is that he doesn't want to go back to truck driving.
Yeah. So I'll play anywhere if it means I don't have to be a bricklayer.
Cool. Yeah. So do you often venture further afield? Because like I said, you gig a lot in this part of the world, but perhaps not so much further afield. Why is that?
No, we've just, we've done the East Coast most of all, and we just came back from WA.
Yep. It
was really cool.
Okay.
That was our third time there. And we've done Adelaide and Cairns. Is there Adelaide people here? Adelaide rocks. Is there anyone from WA here? WA is awesome. But we've done Canada 5 times.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just got contacted from Germany, and we had a guy say, we hope you're over here to do the festival in May. I said, well, if you're going to book us, we'll come over. So we're going to Germany in May.
Oh, really? Next
yeah.
month?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Just got to sell Jade, and then we're there.
You probably can't see the look she's giving her father up on stage.
She knows it's not true.
So that'll be your first time over in Europe then, yeah?
Yes.
Fantastic.
The drummer, bass player Nathan's been there before.
Okay, yeah.
He wants to do the festival and then go straight to Amsterdam.
Yep.
That's what he wants to do.
Fair call.
I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not.
I think it sounds like a fantastic
idea. We might never come back.
Exactly. So are you likely, even though it is very short notice, are you going to book a bit of a tour around that festival, kind of try and get a foothold in that market, I guess?
Oh, definitely. I don't think there's much time to book a tour, but I think there's definitely opportunity to open the doors over there.
Yeah, cool.
That's why we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. And which festival was that?
Grolsch Blues Festival.
Sweet.
It's nice near one. Düsseldorf.
Cool. And you mentioned you've been to Canada 5 times. I think you're heading back in June or July again this year.
We do July, August, and the first week of September.
Is that like every year?
So far, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So how did you start doing that? Obviously, it's been working really well, hence you're going back every year.
I've got an ex-wife there, and I've also got a son there. Jade's brother lives there now.
Yeah.
They moved back there a couple of years ago. So the initial reason was to go over there so my ex-wife could see her family and that I could go and make some money to pay for her seeing her family.
Mm. Okay, nice one. So you're obviously quite popular over there, and a lot of Australian musicians do very well in Canada. I think they're quite similar as far as like musical climates go. Is that a fair comment?
In some ways.
Yeah.
The Canadian people, they love their music. Well, they're snowed in for 4 months or 5 months of the year. So when it comes summertime, they just want to go out and go berserk.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
every gig or every bar or everything, they've all got live music on, everyone goes out, and even if the person playing the music isn't any good, they still cheer and they still clap and they're still having a great time.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really cool about it is over the 250 shows that I've played there, I've seen two altercations.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Compared to if I did 250 shows in Australia,
it'd
be a big difference in those numbers.
Yeah.
But, and those two, one guy got pushed, another guy got thrown out. and the guy that got thrown out, he was getting dragged out, the security guy, and he's holding on to things, not wanting to go.
Yeah.
And he's going, "Look, Mum, they're throwing me out." And his mum goes, "So they should, you're a dickhead." And I'm going, "That's so cool." You know, his mum was like, "Yeah, get him out." So like, and one of the major differences that I've found in Canada was that at least 70% of the radio stations that I heard were all rock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go.
Rock and roll.
Definite difference to here in Australia then.
Yeah. And I heard, do you guys know what the song "Great Gig in the Sky" by Pink Floyd? I heard that twice on the radio. You would not hear that song on the Australian radio.
No.
Maybe never. I mean,
you might have heard it like 4 a.m. in the morning on like Triple R or something.
I heard it twice.
Yeah.
I was going, this is a cool country.
Yeah, definitely. I was speaking to Kim Churchill yesterday, and he was talking about playing in Quebec. It's so cold there for so long, and they get a few months of sun. And if you're an Australian artist who comes over and looks like they've even been to the beach once, then they're really embracing it because they just want to, like, I guess, feel that warmth through the music. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, yeah, they love it.
Yeah, cool. So tell us a bit about who you're playing with these days, like Nathan Lee Archer and Joel Perkis on drums. How long have you been playing with these guys?
This is a bit over 2 years now.
How'd you hook up with them?
I found Joel. He's Canadian.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Our drummer.
Yeah.
I found him on a website for available musicians.
Yeah.
I was going to Canada for 5 months. I was touring there, and the guys that I was playing with here couldn't come because they had commitments.
Yeah.
So I found him on the website, and I looked on his CV that he was just about to graduate from Grant McEwen University.
Yeah.
Jazz musician.
Yeah, right.
So I thought, well, he's got to be able to play if he's about to graduate.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And so he said yes, and then he said he'd got a mate that can play bass.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, that's all I need. And then I thought, well, we'll just send him the CDs, told him to learn it very strictly, and then I said, when we get there, we'll rehearse for a week and then we'll hit the road. And we did that. We did that for 5.5 months, which is really crazy. Sometimes we did 17 shows in a row.
Yeah, right.
And then when I came back, Joel came back with me.
Yep.
And then when we landed back here, I'd done the same thing. Just before I came back, I'd done the same thing back here.
Yeah.
And found Nathan on the website.
Yeah.
And hooked up with him. I had one rehearsal with him. And then the next gig that he played with us was back here, was on New Year's Eve.
Sweet.
So his first gig was like just a cracker.
Yeah, no doubt.
And he got paid a shitload. He was really happy about.
Yeah.
And I said, don't get used to that. You know?
Yeah, cool. So like watching you guys play, I mean, it's like you've been playing together for a long time. Must be great for you to have such a solid rhythm section behind you.
Yeah, it's a constant work. You know, we don't. I'm always critiquing those guys.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be like that. I think if you start to get relaxed, or if you start to ease off that stuff, then it can get loose.
Yeah, yeah.
And they help me to critique it the right way.
Yeah.
Because I used to be a bricklayer, right? So, you know, it wasn't like I'd critique and go, hey, I think you should do this. Yeah. I'd be like going, so they helped me to show me how I can critique it gently.
Yeah, cool. So let's talk about where your music comes from, Mason. Like, obviously, you're very deeply rooted in the blues. Tell me how you first came to love this music. Like, what drew you into the blues initially?
Actually, I wasn't rooted in the blues. My dad was jazz.
Yeah.
And my mum used to listen to Barry White and Boss Skaggs and Streisand and all these kind of dudes. And my brothers were into Violent Femmes and The Cult and all that stuff.
Yeah.
When I got to the blues, I actually fell in love with a CD called Wicked Man by Eric Burnham.
Yeah.
And he was doing, he left the Animals and released the CD. And I found it, and it was all blues type covers and some stuff that he wrote.
Yeah.
So that was my kind of introduction to that.
Okay.
And I learned all the songs off that album.
Yeah.
Just about. That was the start of it.
Okay, cool.
And then the first show I did, someone said I sound like Tom Waits.
Yeah.
So I went and bought all of his tapes.
Yeah.
At that time, they were tapes.
Yeah.
So I bought all that stuff and then listened to him.
Yeah, cool, then, cool. Watching a live set, like, there's a lot of power behind it. Like, is that kind of, for you, a natural evolution of playing the blues, or does that power and, like, I guess, volume come from a different influence? Or is that just, like, how, in your head, that's just how it comes out based around the blues that you got into back in the day?
Yeah, I think before I got into this sort of music, I was trying to do, like, a heavy metal thing or heavy rock thing.
Yeah.
And that was, I was listening to a band called Danzig.
Yeah.
Glenn Danzig.
Yep, yep.
And that was awesome. And it still is awesome music that he used to play.
Yeah.
But, so that, I think some of that sort of came from there. And then, yeah, I think it comes out of that way. I think some of the stuff that I do in our show now has evolved out of trying to get a reaction out of the audience.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when I play at pubs and they don't know who we are or you know, a while ago before we were okay.
Yeah.
You'd finish a song and there's 17 people there.
Yeah.
You know, four of them would take a drink. The other five would keep pressing the poker machines.
Yeah, yeah.
And three people would clap.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the stuff that I do now has come out of trying to get those, all 17 of them, to go, holy shit.
Good,
that's
cool.
Cool.
So I was going to say, like, it's pretty hard not to react in some way when you guys are playing.
Yeah, that's the, that's probably an ego thing. I don't know. It's probably like, you know.
Hey, it works.
It's working.
So just before we open it up to the audience for a couple of questions, tell us briefly about Limits of a Grip, the record you released last year, because I think that was that would have been your first studio record in quite a while, because there was a live record before that.
Yeah, that was the first studio for a while. We just had some songs that we really liked and we just got together quickly.
Yeah.
We recorded the whole album sort of live and then went back and overdubbed it. We recorded it in 3 days.
Yeah.
And then we mixed the whole album on the fourth day, which took 16 hours to mix down.
Yeah.
And then we got it mastered by Jack the Bear in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And we got a really good mate of ours, Rob Sharkey, did the artwork for free.
Oh, cool.
And then, yeah, we just put it out and we didn't do a launch on it or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
We just made the thing and started selling it, that's all.
Yeah. Okay, cool, cool. So I was going to ask what's on the cards the rest of the year, but it seems like you're touring fairly heavily, heading over to Canada and continuing on in that vein.
Yeah, we do Germany in May,
yep.
Sydney in June. We do Darwin Festival at the end of June.
Cool.
We come back from there. Actually, we do Broadbeach Festival in May.
Yep.
And then we finish a gig there at midnight on the Thursday night.
Yeah.
And then it's supposed to be an hour from Broadbeach to Brisbane Airport.
Yeah.
But we've got to fly out at 2:30. So we've got to get from Broadbeach to Brisbane. Anyway, so we've got to fly out.
That's going to be a quick turnaround.
Yeah, we've got to break some rules there. And then we do Germany in May.
Yep.
Sydney, June. Darwin, end of June, come straight back from there, fly out to Canada, July.
Yeah.
And then we've just been booked into Sydney Blues Fest in October.
Oh, sweet.
And it's not official yet, but I think we're doing Bridgetown again.
Oh, excellent.
In WA, so yeah.
Certainly no rest for the weary.
No. I feel like I've been tired for 5 years now.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Any questions for Mason?
Mm-mm.
Not a single question? Everyone's feeling pretty mellow on this last day of the festival, and I don't blame you in the slightest. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mason Rack.
Thank you. And Jade Rack.
And Jade Rack as well.
You've been listening to a Rhythms podcast from Bluesfest 2012, produced by the media students of Southern Cross University.